I appreciate that song that Brother Jared just brought to us just then, because each and every accountable human being that is alive today is building their life, whether it be on God's firm foundation or the unstable sands that the devil himself provides. Looking at your own life today, as each one of us, as we mentioned last week and the week before, if each one of us could just take an inventory of our lives, looking at our own lives, looking at your current state in life, what have you individually built your life upon? Some people build their life or try to build their life upon the riches of the world. How much money can I make on my job? How much money can I make and do the less work? Some people build their lives upon the home or the house that they live in. Some people build and value their success by the car they drive. Some people try to balance things out with a savings or checking account. If I have a bigger account, I've done well. I'm successful. No, let me tell you something. You're not successful. You may be as far as the way the world measures it, but in the eyes of Almighty God, we are to build our life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Build our lives upon the Lord and not the shifting sands of the world. Nothing wrong with having a good account. Nothing wrong with having nice vehicles and a nice home. Nothing at all wrong with that, as long as it does not grab and maintain your attention and become your God, small g. Are we together? No matter how old you are, no matter what you may have done in the past, it's never too late, brothers and sisters, to step away from the sand and start building your life on the rock. And I want you to know today that that rock is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So are you building on Jesus' firm, solid foundation, or are you building on the sands, again, that Satan himself is proud of? Let me show you a thrilling example of what I'm talking about. Head over to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 21 through 27. Just give you a general idea, kind of give you a setting, something you can kind of parallel your thoughts with this morning. The Bible says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day," watch this, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall." Why? Because it was founded, finish it up, it was founded upon a rock, a solid foundation. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house." Where did he build his? Upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell, and great, the Bible says, was its fall. When the Bible says great was its fall, that means total destruction. Today in our lives, if we are trying to build our lives on the shifting sands of what the world has to offer, how great that fall is going to be. But if we build our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and we build our lives up in and we're holding to those nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ, we can know without a doubt that everything's going to be all right. Amen? So that's what I want us to consider this morning. Sadly, there are so many people in the world today that are building their lives upon the sands of untruths. What I mean by that is there are so many people today that are caught up in organized religion, if I may. And I don't believe in organized religion, because organized religion won't save you. There are other people in our world today that's caught up in the "I've got to feel good when I leave" religion. Anybody ever heard of that? "I got to feel good. I went to service. I just didn't feel it. I didn't feel it when I walked out. I didn't feel it when I was there." Well, if you're not feeling it and you got that idea, you're here for the wrong reason today. I'm telling you, when you come into the worship service, brothers and sisters, let's all, including me, every one of us, let's make sure we remember it is not about us, amen? It's about God. I walk in that door today. I love all of you. Let me make sure I love all of you, because some of y'all I just like. But I love you. But the reality is I don't love anybody in here, from my wife, grandchildren, son, nobody more than I love God, amen? So I come here today not for me. I come here because I want to worship, and I desire to worship Almighty God. I want to make sure that I'm building my house. Our body is our house, okay? Say it. Our body is our house, our soul. I want to make sure that we are building our soul, building our body, building our house upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So make sure that when we come into the door, it's not about how we feel. Oh, I felt good. And, you know, there's a lot of people that's getting caught up in the denominational sense of things. That's between them and their God. But I'm telling you today, it isn't about, oh, I had that. It made me feel good. Quit worrying about this feel good and start doing what's real good. And that is doing what God's calling us to do. Can you agree with that this morning? All right. So I want to make sure today that we are caught up in building our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just show you something. There's a lot of people in the world today that says, oh, I love the Lord. Oh, I just think the world of Him. And Jesus is my leader and He is my Savior. Oh, is He? Well, let's take a look and see what the Bible says. Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 46 through 49. The Bible says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord? I need somebody to tell me what the word Lord means. Starts with an M. Thank you, Heather. So why are you calling me Master, Master, and do not do the things which I say? Do you see how Jesus is asking the question? He's saying, you're referring to me as your Master. You are calling me Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what I'm calling you to do. So if you're not serving me, I am not your Master. I am not your Lord. Why? Not because Jesus turned His back upon you, but because you turned your back upon Him. You shook hands with Christ. For those of us that are Christians today, you shook hands with Him. You went more than that. You met Jesus in baptism. You were baptized into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You were baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen? So He's not going to turn His back on you, but He will allow you to turn your back upon Him. How many people do we know today that at one time or another was faithful, loving, God-fearing people, but because they built their house upon the shifting sands of the world, the rains came, they was up in the air, and great was their fall. Are you getting what I'm saying today? But the people that will build their life upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that solid foundation, that rock-solid foundation, if you build your life upon Him, yes, we're going to stumble. We're going to miss the mark from time to time. We're going to have a bloody chin and skinned up knees, but you'll have a home in heaven with God if you stay faithful. Amen? Are y'all getting this? All right. So, we're going to keep looking at this. Luke 6, 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Do not do the things which I say. Whoever comes to me and hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will show him who he's like. He is like a man building a house, dug deep, and laid the foundation on the rock. Uh-oh, there's that solid foundation. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not even shake it. Why could it not shake it? For it was founded, say it with me, on the rock. Go to the next one. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation against, watch this, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it what? Fell, and the ruin of that house, once again, the Bible describes it as great. Total destruction. Why? One built upon the firm foundation, one built upon the sand. At first sight, they look alike, don't they? You can build these two houses and they look identical. They look just, oh man, both of them did a really good job. But when the storm comes about, one falls, one doesn't. When we today come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, putting Him on in baptism, repenting of our sins and believing and knowing and having faith and growing in our faith, we can look like some of those other people, and some of those other people can look like us. But when the storms of life come about, when those difficulties and those challenges hit, one will stand and the other will what? That's exactly right, Chase. So let me encourage us, every one of us, to make sure that on a daily basis that we are building our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Building our lives upon that firm foundation. Every one of us have storms. Every one of us face certain storms in life. It's when these storms of life do come about that it will make manifest. It will reveal not only to ourselves, but it will reveal to other people to whom and what we are trusting. If it's not God, you will fall and you will collapse under the pressure. These storms of life, they could be a job loss. A job loss is pretty serious, isn't it? It could be financial setbacks. Nobody likes that. Nobody's comfortable with financial problems. It could be a marriage that is in crisis. Boy, that's kind of rough, isn't it? When you see someone's been married 30 years, 40 years, whatever, and then all of a sudden the husband or the wife decides, I just don't want this life anymore. I think about a preacher friend of mine from Kentucky named Charlie Brigette. He and his wife was married 38 and a half years. I think I shared this with you before. He took his wife to dinner one night, and as they were sitting there, he said, can you believe we've been married 38 years? And she said, but it'll never be 39. Well, he laughed, and she laughed. He got up. They got never thought anything else about it, got home, and she let him know that was the last night they'd be together. Divorced, boom, gone. You never know, do you? But we understand that there's storms of life that'll come about. Sometimes we get so complacent that we take people for granted. We take our marriages for granted. We take our children for granted. Ultimately, we take every gift that God gives us for granted. Let me tell you today, don't build your life on the stuff of the world. Build your life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to grow in your faith. Build your home on Jesus Christ. Build your life on Jesus Christ. Raise your children in Jesus Christ. Help with your grandchildren in the name of Jesus Christ. Maintain your friendship in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything you do, make it for Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's not Jerry's rule. The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is a rock-solid foundation, isn't he? So we have these issues that come about in life. We have these storms. You know, we can think about children issues as well. Maybe children that have become very rebellious and how hard that is. Loss of a loved one. We've all experienced that. Every one of us has experienced the loss of somebody that we truly love and the pain that is associated with that. Treachery of a friend. There's a lot of things that's hurtful in this life. Blood panels can be hurtful. Having the biopsies coming through your neck, that can be painful. There can be a marriage issue, can be painful. There's a lot of things that are painful. But let me tell you something, the treachery of a friend, that's painful, isn't it? Jesus himself knows how that feels. You see, Judas Iscariot did him that way. He went up and kissed Jesus. Said, the very one that I kiss, that's the one you are to arrest and kill him. Do you follow what I'm saying? Treachery of a friend. When you think for sure that you've got somebody you can confide in, you've got somebody you can trust, you've got somebody you can rely on, be sure that person is Jesus Christ. Amen? It's good to have fellowship. It's good to have encouragement. But I, Jerry Thomas Ladd Sr., will let you down, I promise. Don't put your faith in me. Don't put everything on the preacher. Put your reliance and your dependence upon our Lord Jesus Christ. He is infallible, isn't he? He is perfect. Jesus will never let you down. You may not agree with his decisions. You may not agree with what he's decided about a prayer that you have petitioned God in. But I can assure you that God's way is the right way. Amen? Because he created us. Treachery of a friend. Maybe you failed that test that you were wanting to pass in school or college. There are many, many storms in life that you know will come about. They can throw you off balance. Let's be sure that we're building our house. And as I said a few moments ago, we are the house. Upon the Lord Jesus Christ, let's build our house upon a solid, firm, rock-solid foundation so that when these storms that I just told you comes about, and there's many other storms, that we will continue to stand. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 8, down in verse 37, yet in all things we are more than what? Conquerors. How are we more than conquerors? Through who? Through Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the rock. Amen? All right. So, Christ Jesus himself, when we think about Christ, he wants us and requires us to rely upon him. He wants us to place our dependency upon him. It's Jesus Christ that's going to carry you through the storm. I love what the scripture says over in 1 Peter 5, down in verse 7. The scripture says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Jesus is telling you, and he's telling me, when you're burdened down with all of these things, just bring it to me. Why? Because I love you. I care for you. Why? You are my son, God says. Amen. So cast those cares upon him. Don't collapse under that. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. And he says, and you will find rest for your... Very good, Teresa. You'll find rest for your soul. We're all looking for rest. Every single one of us. We get beat up in this world. There's difficulties. There's problems. There's challenges. Sometimes we just get tired. Sometimes we just get fed up, if you want to know the truth. Is that about right? So me and Teresa and Chase, the only three went through that. So we just get fed up sometime. But thank God. Thank you, Jesus, that he loves us so much that he's going to stand for us. And he's going to say, cast those cares upon me. I care for you and I love you. Let me give you three short points. Three things that we can consider today as we talk about building our life upon Jesus Christ. The first point I want us to consider this day as we're talking about building our lives on Christ, this has to happen. It's elementary, but it has to happen. In order to build our lives, we must build our lives on the teaching and application of God's Word. Does that make sense? We've got to build our lives on the teaching and applying or application of God's Word. We can learn God's Word all we want, but if we're not going to apply it, we're dead in our tracks, yes or no? So we have to apply the things that we're learning from God. We must start out with a very familiar passage of Scripture. There's so many, many. Listen, there's so many folks today in the world that claim that they love Jesus. They claim they are building their lives upon Christ, but their actions demonstrate something totally different. Not from a judgmental standpoint, but if someone says that they love God, you're going to see Christ shining in them, right? Because the Bible says, let your soul before that they may see your glorifying, which is, so you know it and I know it, that if Christ is in us and we are building a firm foundation and we're building upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they will indeed see Jesus Christ in you. John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, what are you going to do? Thank you, Darlene. John 15:14 says, you are my what? If you do all that I command you to do. So we have two passages of Scripture there. One says, if you love me, do what I'm telling you to do. Why? You can go to heaven. Plain and simple. The other one says, you're my friends. If you'll just do what I'm calling you to do. That's why I love the Bible so much, brothers and sisters. The Bible becomes a very, very, very treasured possession. I promise you it does. When you recognize the Lord's, that the Lord is speaking to you through his word. So many people say, well, I just don't know how Christ speaks today. When someone tells me that, not judging them, but I can tell you they're not reading their Bible. Because if you just read and study God's word, Christ will speak to you through his word. Do you agree with that? Let me clean that up a little. Christ is speaking to you, not will. He is speaking to you through his word. That's why it's so important. It is of soul-saving importance that we heed to the very oracles of Almighty God. It is extremely important, brothers and sisters, that you and I study the Word of God so that we will know firsthand what we are to do to be acceptable and approved in God's sight. I think about what Paul told Timothy over in 2 Timothy 2, down in verse 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the King James Version of that. So when I think about what Paul told Timothy, I'm convinced it applies to you and me as well. Please know that Bible study, I'm talking about a true Bible study, is not a walk in the park, is it? All right. So a true Bible study is not that easy. Now, it's easy to get up of a morning or in the mid-afternoon or whenever you want to and flip a page or two and kind of read through it and then, okay, I'm through with that. Now I'm going to go have a bowl of ice cream. There ain't nothing wrong with the ice cream. There's something wrong when we're not studying the Bible. There's a difference, and I've said it before, between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's good to read the Bible because it may motivate you to study it. But when we get in and we say, hey, I catch this. Boy, I'm not really doing what the Scriptures are calling me to do. Or it can be encouraging. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. I've been doing that for several years now. Good. I feel good about that. I think God wants us to take pride in our life with him. Do you agree with that? But not being boastful. Not being prideful, because pride goes before what? That's right, Chase. It goes before destruction. It goes before the fall. Please know that true Bible study, no, it's not easy. It takes discipline. It takes concentration. And certainly something we all should be doing, Teresa, is praying before we study. Praying for godly wisdom. Jerry, do you agree with that? Praying for godly wisdom. I love what God's Word says over in Psalm chapter 119. Let me find Psalm. Is Psalm in the Old or New Testament? Psalm 119. Let's take a look at verse 130. The Bible says the entrance of your words give light and it gives understanding to who? To the simple. Look at Psalm 119. Look at 97 to 105. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation. All of the what? You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies, they're my what? I understand more than the ancients because I kept your precepts. Watch 101. I have restrained my feet from evil in every way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. I love this next verse, 105. The Bible says, your word is a lamp unto my what? It's a light unto my what? So when we look at that passage of Scripture, we know that, yeah, from time to time we may trip over something, but that stumble is only temporary, isn't it? Christ Jesus leads us with His Word. That's why it is so important, brothers and sisters, that we make sure that we are living on the teaching and application of God's Word. Let me head over to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. I think we need to look at something there. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 8. It is very essential, folks, to your salvation and mine that we build our lives on the teaching and principles of God's holy word. And let's look at what the Lord told Joshua after Moses had died and about some things that was going on there. How maybe they just wasn't listening. They wasn't really gaining much. Y'all ready for Joshua chapter 1, down in verse 8? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate, watch this, in it day and what? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. What is he saying? He's saying you're going to be all right. You put your trust in me. You meditate upon my word. Let's use my word. You medicate upon my word. You take it in. You live on the word of God. Success is coming your way. Do we agree with that? All right. Let's head over to the book of Hosea, chapter 4. Let me show you something over there. Hosea chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 6. Listen, if we don't know what God's Word says for us to do, it makes us, listen to me, if we're not familiar with God's Word, do you understand that it makes us an open target? It gives our false teachers, hey, there's one I can mislead, there's one I can lead astray, there's one I can have them to do what I want them to do. There's a lot of people going to be destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to get to heaven. But the Bible says you better know what I'm telling you to do. But don't take my word. Look at what the Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. All found? Here we go. My people, are we God's people? All right. Say it like you mean it. All right. Are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your who. Hey, this isn't going to stop right here, Teresa. It's going to go back to the next generation, isn't it, Larry? And the next generation. And the next generation. There's going to be a lot of people. It's going to blow hell wide open because they had not received the knowledge of the truth. Amen. False teachers. False witnesses. Whatever you want to call them. That's why it's so important to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We will know firsthand what we are to do to be satisfying to our Father in heaven. And then it's on our shoulders to do it right. And then we are to share that with those that are about us. Y'all like that? All right. Second point I want us to examine is this. in order to build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a while ago, we said we have to build it on the teachings and application of God's Word. This one, to build our life on Jesus Christ, we must spend enough time in prayer. Preacher, why are you saying that? We know that. No, you don't. Because none of us are probably spending enough time in prayer. If I'm being fair, you think, you agree? Some of you may. Congratulations. You're a good influence. But many times, difficulties come up. Life's challenges come up. We have all these different obstacles that we're trying to face, which is the best time to pray. But sometimes we can be sidetracked. The devil can get our attention. Listen, prayer is your and my connection point with God, and we are to pray through His Son, Jesus. It's through the discipline of earnest prayer that we will strengthen, that will strengthen us, will build us stronger soldiers in God's army. It's through continued prayer that we learn how to properly communicate with Almighty God. I love what the Scripture says over in Matthew 26, verse 41. This passage of Scripture was brought out while Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He went back and He found His friends and He found His disciples. Guess what they were doing, y'all? Very good. Heather's on fire today. They were asleep. And He went back and He found them that way how many times? Wow. Okay, now you're going to get some pre-chewing gum. All right, so He found them three different times, but He told them, He said, just continue on. I'm sure He may have been disappointed, but watch what He told them. He goes, hey, watch and pray lest you enter into what? That's right, Jerry. The spirit indeed is willing. We are spirit saying, I want to do this. Yes, God, I want to do that. But the flesh is what? It's weak. But God said, keep going. Christ said, keep going. Sometimes we say, well, I just don't know what else I can do. I've tried to do all that I can do. I don't know what else to do. I don't know that I can make it. I don't. There's the problem. The eyes. Way too many I don't. Don't know if I can. But the Bible says, I can do through who? Why? Because Jesus is solid foundation. Build your life on a solid foundation. Luke 18:1, man ought always to pray and not lose heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without. That's right. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:11 is Jerry's favorite passage. All right, that'll help you pray. Tell other people, stay out of your way, stay out of your business. Right, Jerry? All right. So, do you want to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ? Jerry, you're right. They're a hard group today. Do you want to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. All right. All seven of you. I hope I see you in heaven. If so, prayer, earnest prayer, is very serious and needed in that walk. The third and final point in this lesson is going home with you. Building our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ requires this. We must be engaged with the Lord's church. Does that make sense? Must be engaged with the Lord's church. We're engaged in our employment, or you wouldn't still be employed. You're engaged in your marriage, or you wouldn't still be married. You're engaged with your children, there wouldn't be any communication. You're engaged with so many different things in life, and you're successful in some of those things. But are you engaged today with the Lord's church? Are you engaged? Are you locked in? Wound in? Are you excited about what we do in the Lord's church? Not because Jerry's the preacher and Stephen does that and he leads singing and she does that, and not because of that, but because of what the church is and what the church represents. You and I today, we must be engaged with His church. Folks, please know that the church is essential to salvation. Do you agree with that? If we are not added members to the body of Christ, we are hell-bound. Sadly, there are obviously millions of people in the world today that fail to see the urgency and the command to be added to the very body of Jesus. I think about Acts chapter 2, down in verse 47. The Lord says, having favor with all of the people, He added to the church daily those that are being what? Those that are being saved. What did He do? He added them to His what? Whose church? His church. The same church that was established on Pentecost. We also, listen, we all know that the church was established by the Lord Himself. And if it were not important, if it wasn't that important to be a member of the body of Christ, Christ would never establish the church. In Matthew chapter 16, down in verse 18, He said, I say to you that thou art Peter, And upon this rock I will build my church. Who said that? Who said that? Jesus Christ said it. So he built his church, right? And then Acts 2:47, having filled all the people, he added to his church those that are being saved. So you see by those two passages of Scripture that you cannot be saved outside of the church that he established. Do y'all agree with that? I appreciate what the Hebrew writer says. Hebrews 10:25. Anybody help me with that one? I don't remember how it goes. Something about do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So friends, why is it? Why is it so many people look so lightly upon the church in its attendance? Or why does it appear that so many people look lightly upon church attendance and being engaged in the church? It seems like today that the local golf course gets more attention than the Lord's church. Isn't that pathetic? It seems today, when we look at things, that the local watering hole gets more attention than the Lord's church. Go to the docks, see how many people are backing their boats in right now. Go out to the lake, see how many people are firing up the grills to have their little cookouts. Go to those places of recreation that God's blessed you with to begin with. Go down there by the lake. Go down there by the river. Look at the people today that didn't even think about the Lord's church. Then they're enjoying the good nature of God. But sadly, that watering hole, that place of recreation, gets more allegiance paid to it than the Lord's church. Are we in agreement? The tennis courts. People have a tendency to love that more. Recreation centers. Some people love their living room couch more, or their recliner more, than they do the church. How about the king size bed? That is a good congregation, isn't it? That's a good church. People have a tendency to stay on that. Camping sites, the sport and the thrill of canoeing, all bowling, all these different things that take the place of God, all get allegiance paid to it more than the church. I had a fellow I was talking to a little while back, and I said, "What church do you go to?" He's a good friend of mine. I don't get to see him often. He's a friend of mine. And I said, "What church do you attend when you're in Maryland?" And he said, "I go to St. Mattress of the Opilla Church." And I said, "Oh." Well, I thought about it for a minute, and I thought, St. Mattress of the Opilla. And we're riding down the road. We was going to go have some Mexican food. And I said, "St. Mattress of the Opilla." And he goes, "You idiot, St. Mattress?" I said, "Yeah, the pillow." I said, "Oh." It took me a while. I'm not good on jokes, Chase. You know that. But he said he attends St. Mattress of the Opilla Church. Well, you know, so I kind of laughed off with him. But then at the end of the afternoon, I thought, as funny as that was, it's not funny at all, is it? Because that has become his God. Well, you know, Jerry, I work 6 days a week, man. And, you know, funeral business is tough. Yeah, it's real tough. Been in it 24 and a half years. I know firsthand how tough it is. But the reality is there are people today that have that attitude. If you love the Lord and you love the church and what the church means to people, you will be certain that church and attendance in the church is happening in your family and in your family's life. I love the church. I love what Christ gave up for the church. He gave up himself for the church, didn't he? He purchased the church with his own blood. He established this church that you and I are added to. God provides us a way unto him, and that is being that by being added to the church itself. When we repent, when we confess, when we are baptized into the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we believe and we hear and we do these things that God has called us to do, we are added to the very body of Christ. And I love what Revelation 2:10 says, the latter part, when he says, "Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the what? Crown of life." Please know that as a Christian, as Christians continue to grow, and so should our church attendance. Do you agree with that? We should not allow other things to stop us from being here. There's a lot of different views. Well, I think if you go church Sunday morning, you don't really have to go Sunday night. I think that nobody really said you have to do that. Wednesday night, you shouldn't have to. First of all, if we're looking at church as I have to, I hope and pray that you'll seek God in prayer and ask for forgiveness. Assembling together is not for you. It's not for you. It's for who? God. So why would we say, I don't think you have to be there. I don't think you have to do this and you have to do that. We should want to be here. Amen. We should want and desire to come and work. Well, I've already came Sunday morning. So, God, I'm going to worship you Sunday morning, but not Sunday night. God, I'm going to worship you this, but don't ask me to come back Sunday night. Don't you dare ask me to be here on peak of the week Bible study. Don't you do it, God. Here's what we ought to do. We ought to just pray on Sunday morning only. We ought to ask God to help our family Sunday morning only. Are you getting what I'm saying? When we put God and we hold Him and we limit Him, because we're only doing this 2 hours on a Sunday morning, but yet Sunday night you're praying. Monday night you're praying. Wednesday nights we're praying. We're doing all of this stuff. But God forbid me to show up on a Sunday night. Don't you dare ask me to be here on a Wednesday night. I don't think you should have to. Brothers and sisters, let me say it again. You can dislike me if you want to. If you're looking at church attendance as I have to, I'm telling you, because I love you, there is a problem in your relationship with God. Not from a judgmental standpoint, but as love from me to you, because I want to be here because I love God. Well, Jerry, I can love God from my St. Mattress of the Apilla Church. I can love God from my sofa. Sure you can, and you better. I can love God from this, and I don't have to be. Once again, there's a problem in attitude, isn't it? We go to birthday parties. We go to grill outs. We go to all these different places. And Jerry will become religious in what we do. Jerry goes every week to Dolphins. I go every Thursday to a place in Scottsville. What's the name of that, Jerry? Griddles, because I love the burgers. Well, I get real religious with that burger. It's delicious. Hush, Chase. I get real religious in those things because I love it. We're going to be with what we love. Are you following this? If we love the church, why is it becoming a have to? If we are locking God up, Larry, and we're limiting God, we're saying, I'll be here for this hour on Sunday morning. But God, I'm asking you for your providential care on Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday night. Are y'all following me or not? We're asking God to be with us all these days, all these hours. Please protect my family. Please be with my grandchildren. Watch Jerry Jr. while he is out traveling about. Be with Amy while she's doing it. Be with Stephen. Lord, pull him through this heart attack. Be with Larry while he's there. Watch over Tika and her son in the car wreck. Make sure you're being with Jerry where he lost Peggy. I know it's got to be difficult. Y'all getting what I'm saying? So we're asking all these things. Bring Chase back. We're asking God to do all of these things, but we're giving God an hour and a half of our life on Sunday morning. We're throwing something in a contribution plate. That's our service to Him. If we are neglecting and rejecting what God's calling us to do, you ought to be ashamed. We've all got areas to grow in. Amen? We've all got things we need to improve in. I am, like Paul, the chief of sinners. But I promise you, I love Almighty God. You're not going to have to beg me to be at the church service. You ain't got to beg me to do what God's calling me to do. Got on my soapbox a little bit. I hope that if you're guilty of those things, I hope you're offended by it, by God's word, because the Bible says, do not forsake the what? Of ourselves together as a manner of some. So you can holler all you want, but you're going to have to go talk to the Hebrew writer. He's the one that said it. It's part of God. So let's close. What and who are you building your life on today? Are you building your life on the things of the world that will eventually be destroyed? Or are you building your life on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you building your life on the riches of the world or the riches of God's grace? That's all I can say. Amen? All right. So today, I want to encourage you. I know that was a little heavy, but we have to all be. I'm reminding myself because when, as Stephen and Larry would say, when it's 9 degrees and I decided I wasn't going to come to church service, well, that day it was raining real bad and storming. I didn't want to go. Stephen and Larry reminded me, no, they're not my gods. No, I don't like either one of them. Let's just be very, very clear. I'm just joking. Sometimes things can get in our way. There's been several times since I moved to Kentucky, seriously speaking, that I thought, man, 47 miles. Good gracious. And I'm still not back. I'm thinking, Franklin Church of Christ is right there. It's just, I don't even want to go there. And I start trying in my mind to justify why I wouldn't go. And then how quick I'm reminded, Jerry, you love God. you love Christ, why would you not go and serve Him? When we come to the services, as we close, you're encouraging your preacher. You're encouraging the people beside you, behind you. You're telling other people that my God is important. And that my God is important more than 1 hour on Sunday morning. Amen? All right, here we go. Let's do it. Today, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, I don't know what you're waiting on. The price has been paid for your salvation and mine. Jesus shed His blood upon that cross for you and for me. Hear His word. I gave it to you. Believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Live faithful for Jesus Christ. Be baptized for what reason? For the forgiveness of our sins. And we're baptized into the name of who? Jesus Christ, right? Baptized into His name. Jerry, that's what we're doing. Not into James Avenue Church of Christ, but in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Live a faithful life unto death, and always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Today, if you're a Christian, you've walked off from the fold of safety, get on back here. Quit acting crazy. Restore, get restored, and walk out of this building knowing, hey, I feel good again. I'm back where I need to be in my relationship with God. Should you have a need, any need, come now as together we stand and we sing.